Chapter 75. The Liberation of Bavaria. While its fate was being dictated in Paris by vengeful enemies, Germany had to cope with the massive insurrection Lenin had unleashed on its soil. Despite the adversity of defeat and hunger, and perhaps because of it, a new patriotic spirit had arisen. Germany had been completely disarmed, helplessly watching communist terror spreading destruction throughout the land. While the peace conference was imposing a diktat of punishment and mutilation, German volunteers from all over the Reich took on the communists. They resisted Marxist terror by practicing greater terror, the only thing the communists understand. From Berlin to the northern cities and the Ruhr, the Germans had to fight in ferocious combat against the Bolsheviks. Inch by inch, they regained their country. The center of communist terror was Soviet-occupied Bavaria. The communists deployed a Red Army, 60,000 strong and armed to the teeth. They had occupied Bavaria for 6 months and were backed, not only by Lenin, but by powerful Freemasons in the West. All the communist leaders in Bavaria were Jews, just as 753-4 of the Soviet bosses in Moscow were Jews. The objective study of the evolution of National Socialism must at all times consider how constant was the involvement of Jews in creating, leading, and implementing the communist revolutions which plunged Germany into a reign of bloody terror in 1918 and 1919. Already in 1917, when Germany was in a position to win the war, Jewish agents had sabotaged the war effort. It was the militant left-wing Jew, Cohen, who organized and directed the massive strike throughout Germany's munitions factories in April 1917. 125,000 strategic workers were led by Cohen out of factories on which the survival of the German army depended. On July 6, 1917, Jewish Deputy David had demanded from the German government a precise declaration, analogous to that of the Council of Soviet Workers and Soldiers on Russia. On June 27, 1917, he initiated similar demands: "The Russian Revolution offers us an opportunity we must not miss. Russia will remain in the hands of the Entente as long as the German government does not abide by the peace formula of Petrograd." Skidmon, The Collapse, page 186. No one in Germany would ever forget after the war that Jewish communist leaders and operatives had almost taken over the German nation. To state these facts is not an anti-Semitic declaration, but simply a historical explanation as to why the nearly all Germans harbored anti-Jewish resentment. In the spring of 1919, Lenin's main preoccupation was to strengthen his Bavarian satellite, which he regarded as the stepping stone for the invasion of Europe. Thousands of ex-Russian prisoners of war were once more conscripted and sent to swell the ranks of the Bavarian Red Army. The Allies and particularly the French government were ready to exempt communist Bavaria from punitive reparations if it seceded from Germany. Lenin had installed three Jewish communist tyrants, Axelrod, Levine and Levin, to enforce terror in Bavaria. The Red Army was well paid and well fed, while the general population was starved. The cycle of communist terror was finally broken when Naskaya's volunteers, after days of heroic fighting, ousted the tyrants. The communist toll was heavy, just as in Berlin, where more than 10,000 communists fell under Naskaya's blows. It is relevant at this juncture to note that it was a socialist government, coalition partner of the communists, which gave the order to liquidate the Bolsheviks. The so-called moderate left had not taken long to surpass the communists in terror, and it felt threatened by its partners. The socialists had tapped the patriotic feelings of the Germans for their salvation, and indirectly, that of Germany. The delegates to the peace conference watched the life and death struggle in Germany impassively. Germany had emerged after 4 years of war and 2 years of revolution exhausted but alive. The Allies, who desired the destruction of Germany above all else, were still determined to bring Germany down, if not by Bolshevik revolution, at least through massive reparations. It was no doubt a dilemma that must have confronted many a revenge seeker. How could a ruined Germany be expected to pay the enormous reparations laid out by the Versailles Treaty? The time had come for Lloyd George and his bombastic colleague Churchill to squeeze the proverbial lemon brandished in front of the electorate.